Our New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, reading from chapter 5, verses 38 to 48. This continues the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, 'Eye for eye and tooth for tooth.' But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Amen. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches us about the way he wants us to live as Christians. What he says is very challenging. At times, it's very surprising. He does not give us simple, common sense advice. In fact, some of the things he tells us to do are the complete opposite of what we would do if it was left entirely up to us. That's certainly the case when it comes to what Jesus says about what we should do with people we don't like. Jesus says that we should love them, even if we don't like them. In fact, Jesus says we should love them even if they are our enemies. He says, "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy,' but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Even 2,000 years after Jesus said these words, they still shock us. They are words that go completely against what we want to do with our enemies. We don't want to love our enemies. We want to hate our enemies. We don't want to pray for those who persecute us. We want to take revenge on those who persecute us. It has to be said that if you are hearing these words for the very first time, they sound completely crazy. They don't sound like words that have anything to do with the real world. And yet, according to Jesus, this is the way God wants us to live. God wants us to love. He doesn't want us to hate. He wants us to pray for people. He doesn't want us to take revenge on them. This is difficult for us to understand because revenge comes very naturally to us. Revenge is often the first thing that comes to our minds when someone has done something to hurt us. We think of ways we can hurt them in return. We might not call this revenge. We might use a nicer sounding word. We might talk of getting justice. And when we talk of this justice, we might even point to the rule in the Old Testament that says, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. That's the kind of justice that appeals to us. We like to think that if someone hurts us, we have the right to get even. We like to think that we have the right to hit them back. We like to think that we have the right to take revenge. What we may not understand is that eye for eye and tooth for tooth was not a rule that encouraged revenge. It was a rule that limited revenge. It was saying you can't do to the other person more than what they did to you. You have to keep limits on your revenge. In other words, even back in the Old Testament, God was showing that our human desire for revenge is a dangerous thing. It has to be kept in check. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus takes this to the next level. He says that we should not just limit our revenge, we should not take revenge at all. He says, do not resist an evil person. And just in case we don't know what that means, he gives several examples of what it looks like. He says, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. This may well be the hardest part of the whole Sermon on the Mount for us to understand. It may even be the hardest part of the whole Bible for us to understand. It's not hard to understand because the words are complicated. It's hard to understand because this is not the way we usually live our lives. We like the idea of taking revenge. It makes us feel powerful. What Jesus is describing looks weak to us, and we're afraid of looking weak because we think that will just encourage the people who are mistreating us to keep doing it. But of course, Jesus is not telling us to be weak. He's telling us to be strong. He's telling us to be strong enough to hold back our natural desire to hit back and get even. He's telling us to be strong enough to stop ourselves from taking revenge. In fact, he's telling us to be strong enough to love our enemies. The people out on that mountainside listening to Jesus preach know exactly who their enemies are. They know who could at any moment slap them on the cheek or take their coat or force them to walk 1 mile or ask them for their money. It's the Romans. The Roman army is occupying their country. The Roman government is taking away their money. Roman soldiers are often mistreating them. Roman power is constantly threatening them with violence. You may know what it's like to have enemies like that. You may come from a country where the people in power are always threatening you with violence. These are very real enemies. They are very dangerous enemies. They are enemies whose actions are evil. But even if you've never had an enemy like that, you know what it's like to have someone you feel threatened by, someone who does not want you to succeed, someone who wants to do things that will hurt you. In other words, we all have enemies. Even Christians have enemies. In fact, Christians sometimes have more enemies than other people. Notice that Jesus does not say, don't have enemies. He says, love your enemies. He assumes that sooner or later, everyone will have an enemy. You can do all the right things and you will still have enemies. And that's exactly what happened to Jesus. But how can we love these enemies? It's hard enough to love people who irritate us. It's hard enough to love people who annoy us. How can we love people who hurt us? How can we love people who want to do us harm? If we think love is about feeling nice feelings about someone, then this really doesn't make sense. If someone is mistreating you, it's very unlikely you're going to have nice feelings about them. You're not going to think fondly about the person who slaps you on the cheek or takes your coat or demands money from you. That's a person that you are not going to like very much. But Jesus tells us to love even the people we don't like. When he says this, he's not telling us to change how we feel. He's telling us to change how we act. He's telling us to act in loving ways towards everyone, including our enemies. We don't have to like them to do that. We just have to act in a way that does good towards them. In other words, we break the cycle of revenge. When someone does evil to us, we do good to them. When someone tries to tear us down, we try to lift them up. When someone does something to hurt us, we do something to show compassion to them. When someone treats us unjustly, we make an extra effort to show fairness to them. You don't have to like someone to give them water when they are thirsty. You don't have to like someone to give them food when they are hungry. You don't have to like someone to give them medicine when they are sick. You don't have to like someone to show them mercy when they are in need. But if you do these things, you are loving them. You are loving them even if you don't like them. You are loving them even if they are your enemies. So why does Jesus want us to do this? Is he saying that if we love our enemies, it will make our lives easier? That seems unlikely. Is he saying that if we love our enemies, they will become our friends? That might just happen, but we can't count on it. So what's the point of it? What does loving our enemies actually do? The answer to that comes at the end of the sentence that starts, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." After Jesus says that, he goes on to explain why. "So that you may be children of your Father in heaven." In the Bible, a true child of God is someone who has the same character as God. In other words, the reason we are to love our enemies is that this is exactly what God does. In fact, he loved us when we were his enemies, when we were fighting against him and resisting him and rebelling against him. He loved us even though we weren't making ourselves at all likable. He loved us even though we had covered ourselves with the ugliness of sin. He loved us just because that is the kind of God he is. Jesus showed us how God loves his enemies. Jesus showed us how God loves his enemies when he did not resist the evil persons who tortured him, but turned the other cheek when he was slapped across the face. Jesus showed us how God loves his enemies when he gave up not only his shirt, but all his garments when he was hung naked on the cross. Jesus showed us how God loves his enemies when he prayed for those who were crucifying him, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." This was not Jesus being weak. This was Jesus displaying the power of God's love, a love that reaches out to God's friends and God's enemies with equal force. When we love our enemies, we are doing what Jesus did. When we love our enemies, we are showing the world around us what God is like. We're saying even to our enemies that God loves them. God loves them just like he has loved us. This is why Jesus tells us to love our enemies. He wants us to show them what the love of God is like. Jesus finishes this part of his sermon with a very strong statement. He says, "Be perfect, therefore, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." This drives home the point that when people look at us, they should see the love of God. They should see the self-giving, self-sacrificing, perfect love of God. We can't, of course, be exactly like God. We can't equal the love God has for us. But we can reflect that love. Not all the time, perhaps, but every now and again, in moments of special grace, we can give the world a glimpse of the perfect love that God has for us. Even that may sound impossible. But keep in mind that theme that runs all the way through the entire Bible. Nothing is impossible with God. In his book, Loving Our Enemies, Jim Forrest tells the story of something that happened in Tennessee way back in the 1980s. Louise and Nathan de Graffenried were an elderly couple living in the town of Mason, Tennessee. They were members of a Baptist church called Mount Sinai Primitive Baptist Church. One morning in 1984, they were surprised to find that an escaped prisoner armed with a shotgun had broken into their house. The prisoner was a man named Riley Arsenault. He pointed the shotgun at Louise and Nathan and shouted, "Don't make me kill you." Louise responded with an amazing calmness. She said, "Young man, I am a Christian lady. I don't believe in violence. Put down that gun and you sit down. I don't allow no violence here." Riley put down the gun. And then he said, "Lady, I'm hungry. I haven't eaten in 3 days." Louise went into the kitchen and made a breakfast, a very big breakfast. Meanwhile, Nathan went to get Riley some dry socks. The three of them sat down at the table to eat. Louise took Riley's hand and said, "Young man, let us give thanks that you came here and that you are safe." After she prayed, she asked him if there was anything he wanted to say to the Lord. He couldn't think of anything, so she said, "Just say, Jesus wept." She later explained she figured Riley didn't have any church background, so she wanted to start him off with something simple. When breakfast was over, Louise held Riley's hand again. She could tell he was shaking all over. She said, "Young man, I love you, and God loves you. God loves all of us, every one of us, especially you. Jesus died for you because he loves you so much." That's when the police arrived. When Riley heard the sirens, he said, "They're going to kill me when they get here." Louise went out onto the porch and said to the police, "You put those guns away. I don't allow no violence here." The police put their guns away. Before long, Riley calmly went with them back to the prison. Later, the authorities asked Louise and Nathan to press charges against Riley for holding them hostage. They refused. Louise said, "That boy did us no harm." Of course, because he had escaped, Riley was given a longer prison sentence. While he was in prison, Louise started writing letters to him. She asked him for a photograph, and she put it in her family photo album. They kept in touch, and Louise did what she could to help Riley get released from prison. When he was finally set free, he continued to call her every Christmas and on her birthday until she died in 1998. In prison, Riley had become a Christian. He later said, "I realized that meeting the DeGraffenreids and other things that happened in my life couldn't be just coincidences. After all that, I realized that someone was looking over me." When Louise died, Riley spoke at her funeral. He said, "Mrs. DeGraffenreid was real Christianity, no fear." At the service, he sat with the family in the front row. And when the casket was taken to the cemetery, he was one of the pallbearers. "Love your enemies," Jesus said, "and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven." Amen. Amen. Let us pray. O God, by your Holy Spirit, move us to act in loving ways towards everyone in our lives, even those we do not like, even those who are our enemies. And once we have acted in loving ways, may we also find feelings of love filling our hearts. We pray in the name of the one who loved us and died for us, Jesus, our Lord. Amen.